You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
Who are visiting with us or new to this place, there is a green sheet in your bulletin that is a sermon outline that if you would like to follow along this morning, you may certainly do that and fill in some blanks. This morning's sermon has a funny face with it. I don't know where that face comes from, but I found it on the internet, so I used it. We're in the midst of a sermon series called 2020 Vision. This sermon series is ending today. With that sermon series, we are looking at things that we tend to do in the church, sometimes at Faith Church, sometimes at the Church Universal. And we're looking at that to see what we can do to be better as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Today, we conclude our opening 2020 sermon series. It has been a roller coaster ride of things we've been dealing with in this series. The first 2 weeks, we talked about consistency through the story of Daniel in chapter 6 and how consistent Daniel was even in the face of opposition. Last week, we looked at sharing God's love from what Jesus says in the last half of John 4 and how he told those around him that there needs to be an urgency in sharing God's love. And we are reminded that if the fields were white and harvest and ready for harvesting then in John chapter 4, how much more are they in 2020? Today we close it up with the granddaddy of them all, one that speaks to our spiritual maturity than any other topics. But it's one that is quoted against us as Christians. Yet it's one that marks us as mature versus immature. As we begin today, I'd like to take a few moments to allow the Spirit of God to have his way in this place this morning. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we seek his face for our hearts before this message this morning? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to this place to hear your word proclaimed. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to allow these words to resonate with us, starting with the man in the pulpit, because Lord knows he needs to hear it. And Lord, then working out from me into other hearts and other lives, that we would learn from this passage that is so quoted against us by non-Christians, that we would learn what the truth is, that we would live out that truth as Faith Church. For Lord, it's in your name we pray this all. Amen. I'm going to ask Ruth to come now, and she's going to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. At this time, you can stand right there where there's a microphone for you. There you go.
Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces.
Thank you, Ruth. Here's what we're going to learn about this morning. A few things about this passage of Scripture. Here's the first thing. Ask two people on the street to quote to you Scriptures, and most likely this will be one of them. Now, I tried this on Facebook this past week, and it failed miserably. All right? I put out that if you don't attend church, quote me one Scripture passage that you know, and I was hoping someone would quote this Scripture passage, and none of them did. But here's what a Google search shows. It's on the next slide. The Bible says not to. Here's a Google search, literally from my computer. Eat pork. Does it? Well, it does, but doesn't really apply to us. The Bible says not to judge. The Bible says not to get tattoos, does it? I'm not so sure about that. The Bible says not to worry. The Bible says not to eat. That's a Google search. And let me tell you something about Google. Google goes off of whatever's searched high to get their popularity. So this means that thousands and thousands of people have been searching. The Bible says not to get tattoos. The Bible says not to judge. The Bible says not to eat pork. Let me just answer one of those questions right off the bat because it's burning in my heart right now. The Bible says not to get tattoos. The same scripture passage that talks about tattoos also says don't put a razor to your face. How many of you sinned this morning? I did. So let's be careful how we quote the Bible. All right? Let's just be careful how we use it as a tool and push people away from our judgment. Judge not is one of the most popular verses in our culture because it seems to fit in with three of our culture's most basic assumptions. These are your first blanks. Three of our culture's most basic assumptions. Here's the first one. Religion is private. Look, you can have any religion you want to, but don't you dare share it with me. That's our culture's belief. If you don't believe me, just go to the mall. Some mall that's actually active, not the Fairgrounds Mall. But go to a mall that has a lot of people and just try to share your religion with them. Share about Jesus Christ. Share about what you believe. 9 chances out of 10, you're going to run into people that tell you to just mind your own business and walk on. Number two is this. Morality is relative. Morality is relative. Which means you can't really tell anybody what they believe. Wrong, religion, and morality have more to do with preference. It's like, for instance, now this is an old example, but it was one that I found on the internet, Waffle House versus IHOP. Is one really better than the other? Well, right now, Waffle House is the only thing open. But is one really better than the other? So people spew this verse out like a deflective weapon. Whenever you say something or someone else says something that they like is wrong. So in other words, when someone says that you like something and then they say to you, you tell them you like something and then they say that's wrong for you to like, what happens is the very first verse out of people's mouths right away is, don't you judge me. Do not judge, Jesus says. The third part of this is Christians are hypocritical, which we'll talk about later, but we're going to dig in this morning before we talk about that. Here's the first point of this morning's message out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 2 that Ruth read this morning. And Jesus said, use it for others, used for you. Use it for others, used for you. We're going to unpack that. Here's what it says in verses 1 through 2. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Right here, Jesus sets the stage for the rest of our time together. He's laying down the rules, if you would. He's saying, you want to hold everyone else to a high standard? Well, then just remember, you'll be held to the same standard. Now, does that mean if I don't hold anyone to anything and don't care about anyone, that then that will be used for me? In other words, that's an easy way out. You know, so Jesus is saying, if you judge others at this high level, you too are going to be judged at this high level. So if I don't give a rip about anybody, if I don't judge anybody, if I don't care what they do, then Jesus will do the same with me. He won't care what I do. Friends, if that's what you're thinking, I have some words for you this morning, and they're meant in love. You're looking for a loophole. Stop. Americans are great at it. We find a loophole for everything, but it's dangerous. Particularly in this scripture passage, because it's dangerous to your kingdom living. And the assumption is that because you're here, And because you're listening to the Bible being preached, you care about your kingdom living. And therefore, we have to be careful when we use this scripture passage. The word judge here means two things. There are many different meanings to the word judge throughout the scripture, but let's just focus on two of them, and that's what this one means. Here's number one, to pronounce guilt. So when Jesus says, do not judge, he's saying, do not pronounce guilt on someone else. We're going to define that in just a little bit with number two. Here's number two, absolute determination to one's guilt. Absolute determination to one's guilt. I want you to notice those words. Absolute determination. This is someone saying, I'm the one who makes the call on someone else's spirituality. I'm the one that gets to condemn them and tell them they are wrong for eternity. Not Jesus, not God. I am the one. And so when Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 7, he says, listen, do not judge. He's not talking about saying, hey, you believe that this is okay, and I don't believe that this is okay according to the word of God. And so when we talk, you cannot throw the do, you can, but you'd be wrong. You cannot throw the do not judge sign at me. Because here's the deal. I may disagree with a lifestyle, but I am not saying because that person has a lifestyle like that, that they are going to necessarily spend eternity in hell. There's still a chance. There's still a chance until you take that dying breath. But here's what some have done. They have gone to that extent. And they have said, well, if you're this person or you're that person or you're in this group or you're in that group, you're going to hell and there's no chance for you. Warning, Jesus is speaking to you. Can't do that. Only he can do that. And so this is what's going on. There's this absolute determination in this person's mind. I am the one who makes the call on someone else. Jesus shows us that he has a sense of humor, though, and he goes on with the scripture passage, and it's point number two, the ridiculousness of judgment. He literally kind of comically shows us what's going on, and I'm going to read the scripture passage, and then I'm going to show you what he's talking about. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? It's ridiculous. Freddie, come on up here. Freddie didn't know he was going to be a part of the sermon this morning, but he is. And he's going to enjoy being a part of the sermon. He's going to put a smile on his face. Freddie's going to hold this little twig, and I'm going to hold this. This is what Jesus is literally saying. This is the plank, the 2x4, and so I'm going to try to put that twig up to your eye. Don't put it in your eye, please. I'm going to try to remove the plank, the sawdust, out of Freddie's eye with this plank hanging out of my eye. You can see how this might be dangerous. You can see how my son might end up with stitches in his head. That's the ridiculousness of judgment. You can put it down and go back and be seated. Thank you for your help this morning. That's the ridiculousness. Yet we do it all the time. I see you're doing this, son. And I'm going to remove it from your eye. And meanwhile, we're smacking them with our own plank. Let me give you an example of why this is true. It's because if we look at the words in the Greek, here's what they are. They'll be up on the screen. Number one is speck. It literally equals a small twig. So when I give Freddie this, that came off a tree in our yard here at the church. I'm not kidding. This is what Jesus was using. A small twig. Versus a plank, which is even bigger than what I'm using here, a large beam. And so Jesus is literally giving this picture. This guy has this stuck out of his eye. And this guy with a large beam is coming in and saying, I see you have a problem there. I'm going to try to help you fix it. It would be literally like, as you know, a couple of months ago, or almost a year ago, I guess it was, I had a lazy eye. I had one of my eyes that went out. And it would be like my doctor coming into the surgery and, you know, doing his greeting, and he has these things stuck to the side of his head. Two of them. And he says, I'm going to fix your eye, but I'm going to have these two things stuck to my head while I'm doing it. It's absolutely ridiculous. How's he going to fix my eyes? He's not going to be able to get to my eye. But that's what Jesus is using as a comical story and saying to us, hey, listen, guys, this is what we do all the time. And here's the deal. I'm going to say this later, but I want to say it right now. If you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I'm a disciple of Jesus, so I don't know that I would be. Let me tell you something. The language here is aimed at his 12. The guys closest to him. This isn't aimed at those people. This is aimed at me. See, those people don't know any better. We should. The contrast is huge. It's huge, and it's huge for a reason, because Jesus wants to get a point across. He wants to say, hey, listen, this is serious. And can you imagine the eye damage? And you know, beyond the funniness of it, let me just experience. Can you imagine the eye damage you're going to do to someone else if you try this? So all the while you're trying to pick that little piece of sawdust, that twig out of their eye, you're causing them to go blind, spiritually speaking. And it's not on Jesus, it's not on anyone else, it's on you. The plank is hitting them in the eye. It's pretty serious. And I see this a lot. I see it in me. I mean, I said that video was hard-hitting. I trust me, I was like, wow, when I saw it on sermonspice.com, where I get my sermons, for my videos from, not my sermons. I prepare those my own. Trust me, I prepare those my own. But Sermon Spice is a video place where you can go and get videos, and I watched it in my office, and I was like, whoa. But it's true, isn't it? We sit in the mall, and we see someone walk by, and we say, well, that person must be bup, 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 because of this, 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 and this. I'll tell you, when I learned my first, and we have two guests with us today from the Blue Church, but when I learned this lesson the hard way, was when we had a visitor. The Blue Church is no longer the Blue Church that I served, unfortunately, but it is what it is. And we had this visitor walk in one day. This guy's name was Patrick. And he came in from downtown Easton, and why he found the Blue Church, I'll never know, because we were kind of a farm country church, but he came in and he had his tattoos all over his body, and he had earrings, about 7 of them in each ear. And the guy was like 7'5" tall. Literally, when he walked in the back doors of the Blue Church, I remember like it was yesterday, I remember him going like this to fit in under the doors. My, oh my, how quickly things ramped up. What's he doing here? Is he going to cause trouble? What's his problem? Patrick ended up helping with our food pantry. Came to me one day in my office and said to me, anything you ever need, you just call me and I will help. See, we're quick to make judgment calls. We have to be careful with that. Because most times those judgment calls are not right. Most times. I'm going to lay this down before I hit myself. So doing all the looking at other people's specks while we have planks out of our own eyes, what does that lead to? Well, it leads to our next point. Judgment leads to hypocrisy. This one's hard. Verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. To be clear, right off the start here, this is judgment as defined earlier that leads to hypocrisy. This is not me going up to someone and saying, because you live this lifestyle, I disagree with you. You cannot become a member of the church because you live this lifestyle. That is not judgment. And it's got to be stopped being defined as judgment. That's called standing on the truth. Judgment is saying, because you live this lifestyle, because you are in this situation, there is no chance for you, and therefore you are not allowed to attend this church. That would be judgment. Never once do we say that people that live outside of the will of God, that live in places, that live in relationships that aren't honoring to God, never once do we say stay out. But there are ramifications to living those choices. Amen. And that might be that you don't become a member. That might be that you never own leadership. That might be whatever. That's not judgment. And frankly, that's what we hear all the time. Well, you're judging them. You're judging them. No, I'm not. Not by the definition you used in Matthew 7. Not the one you're doing. Not the one you're quoting to me right now. That's not judgment. That's called the truth of the Word of God. And if the Word of God says it, then I have to follow it. Judging is saying that person has no chance and therefore they cannot come to this church. They cannot be a part of anything in this church. That person is going to hell and there's no chance for them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That'd be judgment. And that's what we're talking about in Matthew 7. That's what Jesus is aiming at. And so hypocrisy that we're talking about is in that very place. This is a real problem. And in the Greek language, Jesus uses language that basically is saying that he's finding this kind of hypocrisy, here's where it is, right in his 12. Wow. So you say, well, what does that mean? You see the first two words up there on the screen? Now I got sawdust in my eye. You see the first two words up on the screen? You hypocrite. So here's what it could literally read. You hypocrite, Matthew. First take this plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the plank, the speck from your brother's eye. You hypocrite, John. First take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from Thomas's eye. You hypocrite, Thomas. First take the plank out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of Matthew's eye. You get the point. That's what he literally could be saying right here, right now. The Greek language is very personal here. And he's not talking to the crowds. He's not talking to anyone else. He's talking to the 12. And so what does that tell me? It tells me that it is very clear that as Christians, we can be tempted to go down this road. We can be Matthew, we can be Mark, we can be Luke, we can be John, we can be all those people because we are in the inn, per se. We are saved, we are next to the Savior, and so we can quickly become that person who says, I got the answers, you don't, you're on the outside, I'm on the inside, see ya. And Jesus is very clear with his 12, and he's saying, don't you dare go there. And what he's really saying, if you dig deep into it, is he's saying to them, listen, until a man or a woman takes their last breath, there is still a chance. We don't like that because we like rules. We like to follow these steps, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. But Jesus comes and breaks all those steps, and he says, you don't have to do anything other than call upon my name to be saved. And the reality is that the Lord is saying this to us today. Every one of us, no one in this room is exempt from this. We all have to look and say, hey, listen, where have I judged like Jesus is saying I judge? Where have I said, well, if this person is this, then they just can't be in? Because that's hypocrisy. Even the first disciples of Christ were not held back from being told to make some better choices. Here's a good definition of hypocrisy that I found in a Bible commentary that I read in preparation for my sermons. Hypocrisy is to perform external acts of righteousness that mask, perhaps even from oneself, one's inner corruption. Let me read that again. Hypocrisy is to perform external acts of righteousness that mask, perhaps even from oneself, one's inner corruption. In this very case, the hypocrite thinks they can see the other's sin clearly, and because they think that, they are condemning that person before God. What they're ignoring is the beam coming out of their own eye. In order for clarity to happen, which leads to any of us helping our brothers and sisters with their specs, it'll only happen if we ourselves take a long, hard look in the mirror and remove it. We don't like to do it because it's easier to say, you're a sinner, and you're a sinner, and you're a sinner, than say, I'm a sinner. If we ourselves take the plank, the beams out of our own eyes, and that doesn't happen by public profession or by yelling out every sin we ever committed, but it does happen by doing business with God in humility and looking him eye to eye, realizing that in his grace, he will love us just the same. The issue is that people say, I don't have to tell others what I've done. To an extent, that is true. However, these same people aren't even looking to God eye to eye and saying, hey, God, I really did miss the mark here or there. Instead, they go around boasting about how ahead they are. And all the while, God's saying, would you take it out? Would you get rid of all of your presumptions about people? Would you do this? I want you to remember where Jesus is at this moment. He's just done preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And what's one of the things he says in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the merciful who show mercy. We don't show a whole lot of mercy when we're telling someone you're basically going to hell because of this, this, or this. See, context is everything. Jesus isn't preaching this message out of thin air. He's already dealt with some very serious topics like divorce and adultery and other things in Sermon on the Mount. And then he comes to this point and he says, listen, now I want to talk about something else. How do you live this out? Number four, discernment. Discernment is key. Discernment is key. Here's where he kind of goes off topic, but he doesn't really. Seems like he does to the English language, but he doesn't. He says this very weird thing. And thousands have tried to develop thoughts to this, and I will do my best this morning. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Here's the problem at the other end of the judging spectrum. We can be naively accepting of others. So since Jesus said what he said through verses 1 through 5, I guess there will be no good or bad because we can't judge. And that's what his disciples are thinking at this moment. They're literally thinking of that loophole that I called you all out on earlier. Oh, so if I judge, then I'm going to be judged by this standard. So if I judge with a bucket, then I'm going to be judged by the bucket. If I judge with a 4x4, then I'm going to be judged by the 4x4. If I judge with a tractor trailer load of judgments, then I'm going to be judged by the tractor trailer. Well, here's what I'll do. I'll judge with a thimble. Just a little thing. I'll judge with a communion cup so that Jesus will judge me with a communion cup. And he answers it with this little story. Jesus uses some strong language here. Dogs in this time were not Bentley at our house. They were not home sweet and cuddly. No, they were dogs that would tear you up one side and down the other. And in fact, the people who were outside the covenant of God in the Old Testament, in Israel, were called dogs. They were called dogs. So anybody that was outside the covenant in Israel were called dogs. And pigs, well, pigs, they weren't Peppa. And they weren't Porky the pig. They were nasty and would even be known to kill little children if need be. That's the kind of pigs that we're talking about. Not the cute, cuddly ones that we have today. Pearls are the preciousness of the good news of Jesus Christ, better known as the gospel. And something so precious should not be given to something or someone that has no appreciation for the truths in it. Their nature is demonstrated by their actions to reject such a teaching. Jesus ends this with saying, listen, friends, here's what I'm saying. Don't take the pearls of the good news and throw them to the dogs. The ones who could care less about the good news that's found inside of them. Don't throw them to the pigs. Again, the ones who could care less about how good the pearls are, because all they're interested in doing is destroying them. Here's what Michael J. Wilkins says in this. The image here warns true disciples of the danger of those who have rejected the message of the kingdom of heaven. It is a warning against mistaken zeal in proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom to those whose only intent is mockery or ridicule or worse. It's the warning. Jesus is saying, listen, here's what he's literally saying. If you're walking around like this, with this hanging out of your eye, you're mocking the good news of Jesus Christ. When your eyes are turned on everyone else and not yourself, you've missed the point of the whole gospel. Now, do not walk out of here saying, Pastor just called us pigs and dogs. But literally what he's saying is those people who do that are like the pigs and the dogs of the New Testament. They are not in it for cuddling and games or cuddling and loving. They are not the Porky pigs and the Peppa pigs of today. They are destructive little beings. And so what Jesus' call is to Thomas, to John, to Matthew, to Mark, to Faith Church, to Pastor Brett, instead of looking at the other person and trying to figure out how the heck you're going to get the twig out of their eye, maybe it's time to start looking in the mirror and saying, where are the planks in my eye? and remove them. That's what Jesus is saying. And it's so hard not to do it. I mean, the video was correct. You're walking down the mall, you see someone, and you say to yourself, well, that person must not this because they're doing this. It's so hard to live it. Jesus never said kingdom living was for the lighthearted or for the people who can't stay with it. Jesus said this kingdom living is going to make us be hated in some ways. I mean, I have it on Facebook all the time. I try to stay out of certain discussions, but oh, it's so hard sometimes. And so I put things up, and then someone will say, oh, you of all people should know you're not supposed to judge. And then I write 4 paragraphs of what this really means. And tell them, before you quote the Bible, maybe you ought to know what the Bible says. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Too many of us are walking around saying, you cannot judge. And we don't even understand what that means. And so Jesus brings this up in a time when it was easy for the disciples to judge. It was easy for them to look at people. Look at them when the children come. What do? They judge. What do? They judge. You say, well, how are they judging? Don't go to him. He doesn't have time for you. He doesn't want you to be a part of his kingdom. You're just a bunch of worthless kids. And what does it say? Jesus gets with them. Indignant, which means angry. He's ticked. In a not-so-sinning way. Why? Because they're judging. They're making a judgment call that these kids are not worth the kingdom of God. How about the people in John when they're selling stuff in the temple courts, and he comes in and he starts flipping tables, gets mad, he starts flipping tables, he starts throwing things around. Why? Because they were selling things. It wasn't the fact that they were selling things. If they wanted to sell a bird for $1, that's their part. They can do that. There's no problem with that. Here's the problem. They were selling birds for $2. $1 was going into the church treasury. The other dollar was going into their pocket. That's what the story is about. So when we use that as fundraising, that's not exactly true. You can't use that to defend not having fundraisers in church. That's not the point. Hey, if I'm all for it. If someone's doing a fundraiser here and they're taking $1 and putting it in their own pocket and $1 putting it in their church pocket, it's going to be shut down right away. But you can't then say we can't ever do fundraising. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story was they were making his house a house of thieves because they were stealing from him. If they wanted to sell him for $2, they could throw it in the church treasury. They were making a mockery of him. And he didn't put up with it. And meanwhile, they were looking at everybody else, those Pharisees and those people, those teachers of the law, saying, man, you got a speck in your eye. Maybe 2020 is the time to be self-evaluating. It's already started for me. Probably the number one reason I'm not consistent on a lot of things is because I don't evaluate myself more. Maybe it's time for you to do so. What are some applications for me if I'm a judger of people? Here's some applications that you might want to see or write down, or I think there might be some blanks here. Yeah. First, your first question has got to be, where's my planks, Lord? That's what your first question has got to be. So the minute that you come up against something that you want to judge, all right, so you want to judge something, you come up against somebody and you want to make a judgment call on them, the minute you do that, you got to train your brain. That rhymes. Train your brain to ask this question. Where are my planks? Then deal with your planks. Notice the question isn't, where are my twigs? Where are my planks, Lord? Where do I fall short of who you want me to be? Because it's so easy to pick out, I'm not going to name names, person A and person B's flaws. But boy, when I got to look at my own plank, That's hard. Number two is this, the application is this. Your second question should be, what weakness inside me makes me feel like I need to judge that person? It's hard. These aren't easy questions, but they are. They need to be asked. What weakness inside of me makes me want to judge that person? There is a weakness inside of us when we're doing this inside and out. There is. There's a weakness in our heart that needs to be dealt with at that moment. And so you need to ask that question. What weakness is there? Like I find myself, you know, sometimes I can be judgmental at different people because of different things. Like I tend to be very judgmental of pastors. What? What are you talking about? But I do. You know why? Because the ones that are serving, the ones that got the huge places where there is no problems at all, and well, at least I think there's no problems, and all this stuff, well, they're the ones that they're definitely watering down the gospel. Because if they were preaching the gospel the way it needs to be preached, they wouldn't have that many people. Bull. Bull. It's not true. There are people preaching the gospel that have people coming to know Jesus every day. But you see how that can become a judgment. And so I have to say, well, where's your plank? Where's your weakness? What's going on in your heart? Third, try to understand their situation. Maybe they haven't learned like you have learned. Maybe they don't know any better. Maybe they don't. You know, I was blessed to grow up and my parents are going to be here in a couple of weeks, so I got to get all their illustrations out of the way so I don't say anything while they're here. But anyway, I was blessed to grow up in a home where when the church doors were open, we were there, period. It was never a time where my mom and dad said, hey, listen, you don't have to go tonight. Never a time. Even if I was gone by grabbing my teeth and pulling me there, I was there. In fact, the rule was in high school, you want to go hang out with your friends, you can go ahead and hang out with your friends. You want to come home at midnight, that's your deadline. You need to be home by midnight. But here's the deal. 7 o'clock next morning, we're going to church. You're ready. If you're not ready, Dad will be in, and he will make you get ready, and you will go to church. Now, not everybody grew up in a household. I don't look at that as saying, hey, well, you're not like me because you didn't go. No, I got to understand that some people didn't have that kind of growing up. And so they're looking at it from a whole different perspective. That to them sounds like child abuse. It does. It sounds like child abuse. How could you do that to your child? And now we have all these psychologists coming out saying people that were growing up in those kind of homes don't come to church. And I go, I'm a pastor. Guess I break your rules. See, that's where we have to learn. We have to say, maybe they didn't grow up in that situation. You know, I hear from time to time things like, you know, I struggle with it too, like videos and things like that. Like, you know, this age is into video games. They're into all this stuff. But, you know, I was very judgmental of them one time until one of our pastors in our denomination looked at me and said, and like if you grew up with these video games, you wouldn't be attached to them too. Yeah, it's easy to say, well, these kids, they sit and play video games all the time and judge them for playing the video games. Well, we didn't exactly grow up with those guys. I grew up with Atari, friends. I didn't have cool-looking people that literally were coming into my living room after me playing video games. It's hard. The pastor's one of our churches looked right at me and he says, yeah, it's really easy for you to throw guilt in because you remember the days of Atari. How about the days when they're 3D and they're coming right at you? Would you have grown up the same? We don't know. Letter D is this. Ask the Lord, what eternal corruption am I hiding by being so judgmental? And ask it prayerfully. Usually when we're judgmental of something, we're holding into a thing. And I can even see this in my own kids. I'll make a judgment call on one of them and why they're doing something. And I'll say to myself, I'll go out of my house. And sometimes I just need to go on the back porch and take a breather, you know, those days. Before I say something and do something that's very dumb. And so I walk out on the back porch and I think about it and I'm like, no, you're assuming they're doing this like this because that's what you did as a kid. Because you were eternally corrupt. That doesn't mean that Freddie's doing it for that reason. That doesn't mean that Serenity's doing it for that reason. That means that you have an issue in your heart that you got to deal with before you can go present it to them. And you're the same way. We're all the same way. We sometimes take internal things and we say, well, that person must be doing that because of this. And they're not doing it because of this. The reason we're thinking they're doing it because of this is because something in our past is bringing it up and saying, they got to be doing it because of that. It's like a person, and I'm a part of one of these. It's like a person who comes into a marriage after being a part of another marriage. We bring baggage with us. And so the next person who's in our lives starts doing something that the last person did for another reason than they did, and we start getting upset with them. Why? Because we're going back to what was in our past. And we're saying, well, that person back there did it, and that's why you're doing it, when they're not doing it for that reason, and they don't even know about what that person did to you. These are very practical ways to help you to not be so judgmental. And by preaching this message, I'm not saying this is our biggest issue, but it can be. And it also is a very big stretch or a very big blockage to outreach. I can't tell you how many times as the pastor, I'm usually the one that fields these questions, someone has come up to me and said, so they pulled me aside at Light Tonight, at whatever we've been having, Easter egg hunt, whatever. They pulled me aside and they've asked me this very question. What do you believe about blah, 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 blah? And so I start to explain, well, we believe this. We believe that we love those people. We believe that their relationship is not proper. We believe that the Bible speaks against it. We believe that they should repent of that. We believe they should change their ways. And we do this all because Jesus loves us and we want to love on them. And 9 chances out of 10, I get the, so you judge them. No. No, I don't judge them. I don't. And then I try to explain to them, no, by judging, by what you're saying, you're pulling Jesus' words out of context. And by what you're saying is that I'm judging this person and saying they're going to hell. No. If they came to my altar rail, our altar rail here at Faith Church, and they repented of their sin, and they changed their ways, and they came back to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to heaven just like I am. Because you know what? I've been there, done that. I was so disgusting in sin in one point in my life, and yet Jesus loved me in spite of that. And that's what God is calling us to do, is to say, quit with the judging stuff. No, we're not judging anyone. We're not saying they're going to go to hell. We're saying they better change their ways. We're saying they better respond to the gospel. They better not be like the pigs and the dogs. That's what we're saying. And so next time this is pulled out on you as and don't do it arrogantly like, well, do you know that the Greek says, da, 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 da. No, just simply say, no, I'm not judging, because to judge that person is to say that that person is going to hell. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm making a call on what they believe by what they're doing in their lifestyle. To put it another way, it's like what Jesus says in the Gospels. What does Jesus say? If you're truthfully a tree that's planted by the water, that's fruitful, you'll be fruitful. Well, then can't you make the assumption that if a tree is dead and it's not planted by the water, it's not fruitful? Is that judging? No. It's a clear assumption. If a tree out here is an orange tree and it's growing and it's producing fruit, we say that's a very fruitful tree. If it's an orange tree and it looks like it's on its last legs and it's about to fall into the church, it's a dead tree. There's no judgment. It's dead. It's got to come alive again. And that's what the call of Jesus is in Matthew chapter 7. He's saying, listen, be discerning. Look at people and what they're doing. Because that will show you what people are standing for. But also, don't be so quick to look at their twigs before you pull your planks out of your own eye. It's a powerful reminder. It's a powerful reminder. I need it, and I'm pretty sure you need it this morning. Because we're in a world where this is quoted against us at all turns. All turns. Can't stand for anything. Because the minute you do, you're told you're judging. And that's just simply not true by the scripture standpoint. You're not judging. You're standing on the truth. And so go with that encouragement. Stand on the truth. But be careful not to go over the line and judge. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this powerful reminder. It's a wonderful section of Scripture, Lord, where you lay out some very good reminders for each of us. Where you look at your disciples and you say to them, help yourselves, don't judge. You define for us what that judgment looks like. You define for us what that looks like in our world today. And so, Lord, this morning, I hope and pray that we will go out of here with these applications that are on the bottom of our sermon outlines. That we will be more prayerful when we're about to make a judgment call. When we'll be discerning and looking at people's actions and hearts. Not saying what they are eternally destined for. But simply saying, because of you making these choices, I want to come alongside you and love you. But we can't do that as brothers and sisters until we take the planks out of our own eyes. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to look honestly and openly and be able to take the twigs out of other people's eyes so that we can help each other to live in this world.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.